Greetings, Chicagoland. Thank you for tuning in to the weekly program, Building Community, Strengthening Nations, based on improving lives through public service and volunteerism. Today's presentation is brought to you by the Forum to Achieve Altruism, Compassion, and Tolerance, the FACT organization, with more than a 75-year legacy of promoting peace, harmony, equality, and social justice for all. Building Community, Strengthening Nations features newsmakers and movers and shakers engaged in enlightening discussions on current issues and events that positively impact our diverse communities. The FACT organization invites you to contact us for general information or referral services, volunteer opportunities, and suggestions, questions, or comments regarding programming topics and guests. Please call FACT at 773-424-8002 to reach our 24-hour voicemail and facsimile. Our email address is faactorg@aol.com. Now tell your friends to tune in to FACT every Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. We're streaming live over the internet at www.thechicagolighthouse.org. My name is Ruth M. Fairfax Frazier. I am the founder and executive director of the FACT organization, and today I am so pleased to serve as your host. FACT is always excited about this opportunity to share time with you, our most valued listening public, with different weekly topics of interest that positively influence our communities. However, as we always say, this can only be accomplished with your help. The fact is, we all need each other, and by uniting our efforts, we can make a positive difference for everyone. In a nutshell, FACT's combined vision and mission is to help create a better world through educating the public and coalescing with others to eradicate biases and prejudices, as well as hate crime.
Greetings, Chicagoland, and welcome to the FACT organization. As you just heard the beautiful music of jazz playing, the realization is the Jazz Festival is coming up in the city of Chicago, and we are blessed to have with us today Mr. Neil Kessler, who is not just a jazz aficionado, but is what some people would say one of the top jazz men in this country, from playing it on the radio to interviewing people to working with musicians. This is someone that in jazz music has a name and is recognized as someone who loves the art. Neil, welcome to our show.
That guy is here? That guy you just described is here now? Wow. Because I'm not sure I know him. Thank you. That's very kind.
So the song that they just heard, what was it?
We were playing something from the guitarist George Freeman, and that's an album that just came out, last week, actually, that he recorded, I believe it was last year, and it's out now in his 90th birthday year. George Freeman is the younger brother of Vaughn Freeman, who's a very well-known tenor saxophonist and a mentor to many musicians in Chicago, and really iconic figure in Chicago jazz. He passed away several years ago, but his baby brother George, Georgie Porgy, he used to call him, is still going at 90. And he's actually going to be opening the evening performances at the Chicago Jazz Festival on Thursday, August 31st.
And remember, Chicagoland, the Jazz Festival is a festival put on by the city of Chicago to the people of Chicago to experience the art. And jazz is a art form that has to be listened to and absorbed, and sometimes you just have to live it. And this is a time that the city of Chicago has devoted to the music of jazz music and let the people of the city enjoy some of the best artists in the world for free.
Yeah, it's all free. It's been free from the beginning. This is the 39th annual Chicago Jazz Festival. And it is programmed by the Jazz Institute of Chicago, which I'm a board member of, and I've actually been working on the programming of the Chicago Jazz Festival since the second festival in 1980.
Hey. Again, Chicagoland, the Jazz Festival is for all of us. But, Neil, could you tell some of the Chicago listeners who might not know your history, like I just kind of gave a brief, summary of some of the things that you've experienced in your life and how you got to this point.
Well, you know, I started doing jazz radio in college at Northwestern University in 1970. That's a while ago. And it wasn't my first choice. I was assigned to do a jazz show, but I quickly came to really get quite involved in it. Eventually, I started writing, and when I left college, I was fortunate to find myself in the right position to be able to use various outlets. I was writing for the Chicago Reader. I was writing for the Chicago Sun-Times. I was an editor at Downbeat Magazine right out of college, which, you know, says more about where those places were. Right. Than, I mean, I hadn't really built up a resume to do that, but that helped build up a resume, and I always wanted to stay with radio, so I've done various radio programs over the years, the Chicago Public Radio, WBZ, when they used to have music, worked on some other smaller stations, and most recently, in the last year or so, I've been one of the hosts on what is called the Jazz Network of the WFMT networks. WFMT is a classical music station. They don't actually air the programs that they produce for the Jazz Network, but they are on 60-some-odd stations serving 250 markets around the country and in China for reasons I don't fully understand. Our show is on in China. So that's my radio stuff. And I've done a lot of writing. I've written for New York Times, various jazz magazines. I was the Playboy magazine jazz critic for 10 or 11 years, I think. And out of that came a guide for listeners that I wrote called The Playboy Guide to Jazz, just kind of a historical overview told in the terms of specific albums that one might want to get to build a collection without, you know, without reading everything that Cannonball Adderley did. Pick out three or four and say, well, here's where you start, and then I trust you to figure out the rest of it on your own.
Again, it is just a marvelous understanding that jazz is an art form that is mostly an American art form, too, that has been able to survive over the years and thrive on the fact of it's the style of music that comes from the heart. And that's something that's built on lyric and line and rhythmic pentameter. It's just music for the sake of the soul.
But I would add that it's not just the heart that's involved in this. There's a lot of brain work.
Oh,
I mean, jazz is, after classical music, is the most difficult, and maybe on a par with classical music, is the most difficult music to play. It demands a level of technical expertise that that other musicians in other forms usually envy. And it's the kind of sweet spot between the heart and the brain, I think, that certainly appeals to me, and I think a lot of people.
Because most jazz musicians that I've experienced love what they do to such a point where they take pride in their art.
Well, they kind of have to because they never made a lot of money.
Right. It's not there to get rich, but you're there for the art form. And once you get that passion for it, it just drives you to want to be better, to see what that next project is going to be and how you can change it and change the area. And it's been a part of the Chicago Jazz Fest for years to show that and demonstrate that to the people of Chicago, to give them a chance to see different forms of the art.
That's always been our goal. And the Jazz Institute of Chicago, which has programmed it from the beginning, mission is to present jazz in all of its various iterations, various forms and genres. And because of that, we've made a point of booking sometimes very challenging music on the same program as something that's very crowd-pleasing, and try to work it out so that it progresses in a way that people will perhaps find a linkage between one artist and another. But even when they don't, we want them to be exposed to music that they might not have heard otherwise. And I think, at least our audience, the Chicago Jazz Festival, I think that they've really grown in their appreciation over the years. Because I can remember in the early years, bringing someone like Ornette Coleman, Cecil Taylor, very avant-garde musicians, and many audience members got up and walked out. I mean, if it's free anyway, you're not losing anything.
Go to the next stage or whatever.
Yeah. Or if it was at night when there's only the one stage, they would say, well, I understand this. And then just a few years ago,
when we had a set with Mujal Richard Abrams and Roscoe Mitchell, who were two of the founding members of the Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians, known throughout the world as a Chicago organization that really pursues some very radical, extreme, certainly challenging experimental music.
Avant-garde.
Yes, avant-garde. We had those two and a third member, George Lewis, a trombonist who also played electronics on the computer.
This was unbelievably challenging music.
And yet, and it was the first thing on that night, so maybe that's why maybe they didn't like it. But they reacted so strongly. And at the end of the set, it received a standing ovation.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between that and 30 years ago, when people might have left because they didn't get it, I think has something to do with the fact that the festival has continued to book artists that were not necessarily well-known and not commercially necessarily popular, just to say, look, this is out there too. So here's George Benson, but here's Roscoe Mitchell. Here's Dexter Gordon, but here's the Globe Unity Band of European improvisers who are playing some of the wackiest stuff you ever heard. And eventually, I think people started to realize, well, yeah, it's all part of the same spectrum. It's all in the same continuum.
Mm. And that's what you want to be a stretching opportunity also, so that you get more exposed than just the popular radio tunes that you would hear on the radio, but that you get exposed to the art form in all its different elements. Because jazz, it has different elements, more than just the popular ones that land on the radio, but it has a life of its own. And just like most things and most people, the different strokes for different folks. And it's an opportunity for Chicago to showcase the variety of that genre of music that we call jazz. The next song we are about to play is the first song on that album. What's that?
Well, this is from a group that it certainly exemplifies what we're just talking about, except that they're also a whole lot of fun. This is a trio with bass, drums, and trombone. Now, that's not your normal trio. You don't find that in a cocktail lounge very often. But these guys have been together for over about 40 years. Now, they don't play exclusively with each other. They each have their other projects. One of them lives in Switzerland. One of them, the trombonist Ray Anderson, grew up in Chicago, was born in the suburbs, I think went to school in Hyde Park as a kid. And he lives in New York. And the third one is also a New Yorker. And so they're spread out. So they don't have this isn't the only band they have. But on a regular basis, over these 40 years, they have played a concert every year or 18 months, recorded a steady stream of albums. And because it has a bassist and a drummer and a trombonist, they call the trio Bass Drumbone, which is a little bit of a pun, a play on words, on the instrument, the bass trombone. So it's Bass Drumbone, and they play free and open-ended music. They do start with a theme, a song, and then they play open-ended improvisation. But they always have a lot of fun when they do it. So we can listen to a little of that.
Let's listen to that, Chicagoland. Now, that's what I call music. That's it. When you're able to, you know, do a trio in that format, that's different than the normal trio.
Yeah, no piano, no guitar, no chord instrument of any kind, which is unusual
Very unusual.
Yeah. Not unusual, I think, to hip-hop audiences these days.
No.
Because that's closer to that instrumentation. But again, these guys started doing it 40 years ago. And they're going to play on Saturday night at the Pritzker Pavilion as part of the Chicago Jazz Festival. And just to show how it encompasses the whole range of things, directly preceding them is the Dr. Michael White Quartet from New Orleans. He is a traditional style, what some people call Dixieland clarinetist. So you're going to have some of the very oldest style of jazz, and immediately after that, the music we just heard, which is fairly modern.
Then, again, Chicagoland, you have to come out for the variety. Could you give us some of the headliners at the Pritzker Pavilion each night?
Yeah, for the four nights that it takes place at the Pritzker Pavilion, we should also then talk a little bit about the stuff that goes on all afternoon.
There goes the off stage.
Two other stages. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, well, Thursday night, there's a tribute to the centennial of Dizzy Gillespie, who would have been 100 years old this year. One of three artists, great jazz musicians in history, who were born in 1917. We're trying to honor each of them. So the Dizzy Gillespie tribute on Thursday night is run by his great protege, John Faddis, a spectacular trumpet player who really came up under Dizzy Gillespie's influence and worked with him personally often. So he's assembled a big band to play some of Dizzy Gillespie's music. And then on Friday night, which is September 1st, the pianist and MacArthur fellow and well-regarded artist, Jason Moran, is going to be presenting a program that he has done before a couple of years ago in New York that involves a small big band, a large ensemble, and video and some other special surprises to celebrate the 100th anniversary of Thelonious Monk's birth. And then on Saturday night, because 1917 was also the birthday of Ella Fitzgerald. So on Saturday night, there's an Ella Fitzgerald celebration that we're calling an Ellabration. I don't think I came up with that. So, but if you like it, then I might take credit for it.
Take care of it.
And that's going to feature the three vocalists from Chicago, Spider Salof, Frida Lee, and Dee Alexander, who's, I think, becoming very well known. And they've done a sort of Ella thing before. They put out an album, actually. They called it Three Ellas, in which they each did Ella Fitzgerald's music. But they're going to be joined that night by a couple of special guests, Paul Marinaro, who's a singer in Chicago, who's become quite popular over the last few years, and also Sheila Jordan, who's one of the great experimental improvising vocalists of years past. She's also almost 90 herself, and she's appearing with her own set on Sunday night. She's going to be in a little early, and she'll join the Ellabration on Saturday. So those are some of the big headliners. And then actually on Sunday, we're going to close out with a couple of things. The Rebirth Brass Band, which is a New Orleans, kind of a modern New Orleans traditional style band that is just a party. I mean, just great fun. But just before that, something from, I think, another track that we have set up here, which is from Matt Wilson, who's a drummer and composer, an exceptional musician, who grew up also actually in Southern Illinois. And his latest album, which he will be world premiering at the Chicago Jazz Festival on Sunday, September 3rd, is a tribute to Carl Sandburg on the 50th anniversary of poet Carl Sandburg's death. Great poet of Illinois, Chicago, butcher to the world, that guy. And so he's taken some of Carl Sandburg's poems and put them to music or set up musical settings for them. And then he's gotten some people to read them that you wouldn't expect, other musicians. So in the case here, it's a poem, it's a humorous poem Carl Sandburg wrote, and it is set to a kind of African, South African setting, beat, and the horns seem to recall some of that sound. And it's read, though, by the great guitarist John Scofield, who, you know, is not an actor or professional reader, but how great to hear him in that context.
So Chicagoland, see, the main stage is going to have so much variety also that if you just come down for the evenings to enjoy the main stage, you won't miss out on the experience. But I've learned over the years the side stages also carried such a rich variety that I used to love to come down and go to the side stages almost as much as the main stage.
Yeah, and we don't even call them side stages anymore because they've grown in stature to the point that they're, if you just saw the afternoon stage schedule on another festival, you might say, well, that's a great jazz festival by itself. Mm. So there's a heavy component of local artists at the Chicago Jazz Festival. Oh. We always have some on at the Pritzker Pavilion. There's more of them on during the afternoon. That's just the way it works out. But in terms of you want your biggest names in the evening. But we also have some folks from out of town on the afternoon stages. And we have many people from among the Chicago jazz community performing who could headline an evening stage almost anywhere else. Yes. So, on Friday afternoon, for instance, looking at my schedule here, We have a band coming in from New York called Slavic Soul Party, which plays Balkan jazz, kind of Eastern European, somewhere between jazz and klezmer, except they're playing music of Duke Ellington in this case.
Okay.
We have the pianist and vibraphonist Stu Katz, who's a longtime Chicago artist, who's doing a sort of recreation of the great George Shearing Quintet of the 1940s and 50s, which is a beautiful sound. On a Saturday afternoon, in the afternoon stages, well, of course, they're afternoon because that's what I said. We also have a group that's led by a local artist named Johnny Blass, who is, I'm sorry, that's Sunday. On Saturday afternoon, I should say, Sean Maxwell, who's a guitarist, a saxophonist. Now I'm getting completely confused. Too many names. Sean Maxwell's New Tomorrow. He's an excellent saxophonist who leads his own quintet. We're going to have the Lowdown Brass Band, which is a, I think they're based in Wisconsin, another of these kind of New Orleans-style bands. We're also going to feature this guitarist named Mary Halverson, who is one of the most highly regarded and written about modern guitarists, who has a very unusual approach to tuning her instrument and the way she actually uses the different sounds you can get out of a guitar, that many people have not used in the past. And she has an octet, an eight-piece group that is tremendous. They put out an album that was one of the best of the year in 2016, and she's bringing that group as part of, again, the afternoon performances. And Sunday I started to mention the Johnny Blass Afro Libra Orchestra. But we're also going to have on Sunday afternoon Louis Maholo, who's a South African drummer who moved to London in the 1960s, became part of a big jazz movement there. I don't know when, if ever, he's been heard in Chicago. And he's going to have his group. He's also getting up in years. It may be the only chance many of us have to see him, no matter how long he lives, because he hasn't been in town in, I think, forever. And so that's another example of what we've always tried to do, bring in some folks from other jazz communities outside of the U.S. But this is, look, I'm even getting confused just reading off my papers here. If somebody wants to get the full information, it is available on the website.
And that website is?
It's www.jazzinchicago.org. And then you navigate over to events, and then there should be a box for the Chicago Jazz Festival. For people who are not able to see that, which is a lot of the audience here, we don't have, I don't believe, a spoken component to that.
Okay.
And now that we're talking about it, I think I need to make a note and see if we can't institute that for next year.
Yes. And you may want to check the City of Chicago site for that information, because I do believe the City of Chicago site for the festival does have a link that would make it audible to you.
Oh, is that true? Well, see, that's important for me to know.
Just to make sure that, the City of Chicago did do some handicap accessibility on their site a few years ago.
Marvelous.
And I'm not guaranteeing it, but I'm almost sure that the festival site was one of the ones that they did.
That's wonderful. So that'll have all the same information as the one I just mentioned, but it is through the City of Chicago's Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
And it's an event for everyone. It's not that what you are, it's what you love. If you love music and you love the arts and you just want to sit back and enjoy, then this is a festival for you. It's 4 days. It's in the heart of downtown Chicago. It's accessible, easy to get to by public transportation, by private transportation. However you want to come and enjoy. It's 4 days that you will not regret. If you take 1 day out, 2 days out, or if you're really a music aficionado, take all 4 days out.
And also, I mean, that's one of the advantages of it being Labor Day weekend. It's usually a holiday weekend. Most people are off at some point on Friday.
Right.
But for those who don't want to maybe deal with a larger crowd, the festival actually technically starts on Thursday afternoon at noon at the Chicago Cultural Center, where we use three different performance spaces and have a rotation of six bands altogether. And also kind of a lecture demonstration about what makes up jazz that this year is being presented, I believe, and I'm going to check so I don't make a mistake, is being presented by Willie Pickens, the great pianist, another gentleman who was in his mid-80s and playing better than ever. And so there's six or seven different programs going on at the Cultural Center between noon and about 4 on Thursday afternoon, 4:30, at which point people will start to walk over to Millennium Park for the 6 o'clock opening from the musicians we heard at the beginning of the set, George Freeman.
Mm-hmm. And again, Chicagoland, the Cultural Center is, again, downtown Chicago, Michigan Avenue, right on Randolph, Washington, right on Michigan Avenue. It is handicap accessible, and there will be people there that will guide you to this event because this is a major part of the kickoff of the Jazz Festival. So every year, you'll go to the Cultural Center, you enjoy the elements of the Cultural Center, which is a little bit educational-based as well as the music, and then you walk across into the park, you pull out blankets and food, and you just eat your way through the rest of the evening for most people.
And for those who do need accessible seating, Millennium Park was built with that in mind. There's right in front of the walkways, there's seats that are set at extra wide intervals. Somebody can move a wheelchair right in there or maneuver themselves in and leave a walker next to it. So that's always been a real draw in my mind to invite and include more people.
And that's important. That, you know, Chicago is a city that has dedicated itself to be accessible, and they've made these festivals in such a way that they are accessible to people, and they're a joy to go to, whether that's the Blues Fest, the Gospel Fest, Country Fest, whatever the fest is. Chicago has made an effort to make sure that the people here are exposed and get the exposure to different types of music that they can grow to love. And the Jazz Fest is just one that just fits Chicago so well.
And it was the first one. It was the model for all the others.
Mm-hmm. It was the very first. And again, everybody know, copycat.
No. The city was pleased with the results of the first couple of Chicago Jazz Festivals. And we used to include blues musicians. And even, I'm not quite sure we ever had an out-and-out gospel group on the early days of the Chicago Jazz Festival, but there were musicians who had more of that element in their music. And eventually, there was a blues festival, so we didn't feel the need to have a separate blues artist and a gospel festival. And, it was based on the fact that people saw that it could work. And I think that's partly because the Chicago Jazz Festival has always drawn a really diverse but incredibly mellow, chill crowd. Mm-hmm. You see people who are young and old, who are black and white and every other nationality. You see conservatives and liberals. You see Republicans and Democrats. And everybody's there for the music. And there is, over the 4 days, there's sometimes, 28 arrests, I've heard. I mean, which is nothing for a crowd of people filling a space like that. Absolutely nothing. You never even see problems.
Mm.
It's really a wonderful experience.
In Chicago, when we come together, and when we want to come together and enjoy something, this is what we can do. And we can be in a peaceful environment. We can have peace in our city around the things that we enjoy. And the more we do that, the more we come together, the more we realize that we are globally connected, that we are people that have a connection, that we're not different. We'll find out more commonality than our differences. And that's what the FACT organization is all about. And we want to thank Mr. Tesla for being here today to talk about the Jazz Festival. Chicagoland, thank you for listening to us. Remember, the Jazz Festival begins
August 31st and at the Cultural Center, moves to Millennium Park's Pritzker Pavilion that night, and then for the next 3 days and nights, it will all take place at the Pritzker Pavilion.
Chicagoland, good night. Thank you for listening. Enjoy yourselves.